Father, we bless your people today. We honor your name and bless your people. Father, you want so much for us. We want to be receivers today. As you pitch, we want to catch. Father, we want all that you are giving out to us. Wave after wave after wave of goodness and good gifts. Father, higher places, higher ground, more territory, Father, in the Spirit for ourselves personally, as well as for your kingdom. Thank you, God, that you are doing it. You are doing it in people's lives. You are doing it in our lives. We receive from your hand. We receive from your hand. We receive from your hand healing, deliverance, love from the Father, good gifts from the Father, supernatural work in our hearts and lives, supernatural work in the lives of people that we touch. Yes, God, we don't take it for granted. Father, we don't get used to it. We expect, we let our hearts rise up and expect greater, higher, higher things, things from heaven to earth. Father, help us not get used to the phrases that are used. Help us to get used to the power that you have. Used to seeing it, wanting to see it, desiring to see it, expecting to see it. Father, lift up our hearts to where you're really working. Help us not to be below that line, but lift us up to where you really are working, God. Help us not be far away, even an inch, from where you're doing dramatic things, Father, supernatural things. God, help us to see with spiritual eyes, not with natural eyes. Give us those eyes. We receive them from your hand. We are able to step up to these things because of the Holy Spirit you've placed within us. We don't take you for granted, Holy Spirit. We don't limit you, Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve you or quench you, Holy Spirit. We want to receive all you have for us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're real. You're a person. We speak with you today. We draw near to you today. We celebrate who you are in us today. Rise up in us, Holy Spirit. Take over our minds and give us transformed thoughts, Holy Spirit, today. Not natural thinking, supernatural thinking. Not minds of the flesh, but transformed minds of the Spirit. We receive. We must receive from you. We can't muster it up ourselves, Father. We receive it from your hand. We believe it today. Take us from being doubters to being men and women of faith. Take us from being those in fear to men and women of faith. Father, you're able to do it in us because the power of the Holy Spirit is already there. The person of the Holy Spirit already dwells in our hearts if we know Jesus personally. We receive. We plug into that power today. We need you, God. We need you to reveal your great resources to us, your great person to us. Reveal, reveal. We've heard what was revealed Friday night and at other times, God. We want it continually, continually in our hearts, Father. That when we gather together, it'll be a celebration of what you've revealed, how you've revealed yourself to us. Thank you, God. We receive all the various ways you communicate with us today, this morning, right now, in our hearts. We're not waiting to hear a message to hear you communicate to us. You are communicating right now. Before the message starts, we receive your communication. And we turn back the thoughts of the flesh and receive only the thoughts of the Spirit. Thank you, God. We must say no to say yes. We must hold down our own thinking, put it in some other place, and allow your thinking to transform us, to fill us. We ask for your thoughts to fill us, your ways to fill us, Father, that we would live higher, we would live greater, we would live with expectancy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We receive it today. No lack in the Spirit. Abundance in the Spirit. Each heart receiving abundance, 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 abundance in the Spirit. Transforming abundance in the Spirit. We need it. We need it. Take out the orphan. Bring in the son. Bring in the daughter to our hearts, Lord. Daughters and sons receive easily at the Father's table. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're gathered around your table, ready to partake of the feasting, that you're willing to give to us, God. Take our doubts far from us. Take our fears far from us. Bring in your mind, your heart. We want 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 your heart, Lord. Bless your people. Bless your people. Bless your people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're here, Holy Spirit. You're here. You're here. Teach us. Teach us. Teach us. Teach us. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Old Testament, New Testament, and our present day, the same heart of the same God that wants to touch our lives with the supernatural. The question this morning for all of us, are you living supernaturally? Is that what your life is about in these days. Because that's what the Father wants for us. He speaks it clearly in Joel in the Old Testament. He speaks it in Acts in the New Testament. The same thing. He wants to pour out His Spirit. But to pour it out is one thing. For there to be someone to receive it completely is another. We have to be receivers of the Spirit that He's pouring out. When someone says, I have a dream, I have a vision, I have a picture. Oh, is that your reaction? I hear so many of those. I mean, some people, they just have a picture every minute. Or maybe you're not used to hearing from people that have pictures and dreams. We have them in this house a lot. It's increasing. We get them in our email. People are calling us. People are sharing them at church. They share them in the middle of the night when we have these all-night prayer times. They come ready to share them with someone in the body. Someone will grab me after church and share a picture they had while I was speaking or while the worship was going on. It's increasing. There's a heartbeat to it. There's a pressing to it. The Holy Spirit's looking for those vessels to pour things into. Oh, is it just so that we can feel good? Oh, I got an encouraging message from God. Sometimes His messages are kind of pointed. He's looking for change in us, as well as blessing us, speaking into our hearts in love. He wants to change us. He wants to have His word be active in us. Some of these words that are being given out, these dreams, these pictures, these visions, this supernatural communication from the throne room to the earth is for us to just get our interest going. And then we dive into the Word. We come into His presence with a new expectation that He's going to speak again. He's going to speak louder and greater and bigger things into us. Change into us. Dramatic change. If you walk through the mall this morning, there probably aren't a lot of people there that are looking for God to speak. They're out looking for a service or a good to make them feel better. If you were out there in the mall today, but you're here. You're not out shopping. So are you here so that you can grow in being a supernatural person? Because that's what this time is about. The worship, whether you know it or not, whether I know it or not, is supernatural. It's a connection with the Father in heaven. We don't just play these songs to fill in time. If you didn't see the hearts that were up here this morning, pouring out their love for Jesus, how many saw that? I love those hands going up. I was up there too. So cool. And it's getting more and more sincere. I've been a believer since 1972. The worship coming in this season is the greatest worship there has ever been that I've ever seen in those years. Did I say that? Let me say it again. This is the time of greatest worship that I've ever seen. It may be the time of the greatest worship ever given out on the earth, the purest worship ever given out. And you're here to hear it? That's significant. You're here to be part of it? That's significant. We're alive in the body of Christ today to encounter that type of time of worship with God, that intimacy with God that we share together. And then we are doing that on our own as well. When I pick up the guitar at home, it's almost like I'm instantly with Him. It used to be I'd pick up the guitar, I'd think of a nice tune to sing. It used to, when I first became a Christian, it was a little Beatle music mixed in. And then I'd sing a worship song, then a Beatle song, then a worship song, then a Beatle song, and Rocky Raccoon, and then Jesus. But Now I could care less about the Beatles and their music. It's so, low into the earth. It's so earth. So part of the earth. It's too low anymore. When I hear these new voices, just this weekend, we had two young ladies that have expressed themselves in worship like I've never heard them express themselves before. In one weekend. Are you missing these things? I hope not. They're a joy to my heart. They're a joy to Pastor Mary Pat's heart. They're a joy to the hearts that recognize it. There's an increase. This is a wave of increase. Do you see it? Do you hear it? It's here. And it's going to go even higher. It's going to be poured out even more from hearts of purity, more and more purity. And the rest of us that are worshiping God, say in the seats, will be trembling in our hearts as this goes on. There won't be any place for someone to come in and be having sin in their life to the point that it doesn't match up with the Spirit of God. They'll be trembling in their heart. They won't even know what's going on. There'll be a shaking in them. It's a good thing. Why are people looking so concerned? We need to shake. So we need to shake. That's when you say amen. Loudly. We need to shake in our hearts. Not out of fear, but out of awe. And out of, I'm going to change. This is exciting. This guy can change. This is tremendous. In the Spirit of God, in the presence of God, in the worship towards Him, we're going to get more of His heart. We're going to change. And it's not part of my message. Maybe I should look back at my notes. Short notes, long message. Be careful. So, these two passages point to today. How many know we're in the last days? How many know they were in the last days after Jesus died and rose from the dead? I mean, have been in the last days. So think how closer we are now. 2,000 years closer to Jesus returning. Now, when I was a boy, I didn't want him to return. I got some things to do. I got stuff. I got to ride my bike. I got to get a first girlfriend. I'm the second shortest guy in class. How am I going to do that? They all want the tall guys. Justin, Jordan, those guys were everywhere in my youth. I couldn't match up. But that changed. That changed. Now I want more and more of what he's doing. I want to see more and more of it in people's lives. And not just here in Jackson Township. I want to see it where we go in the world. You know, when we go places, sometimes the message is so new. There are those that reject it just out of hand. It's just too new. But others, their heart is warm to it so much. When we were in Singapore in May, there was a group of people there. They're after God's heart. They are totally after God's heart. They're going out on the streets and trying to rescue women that are trafficked, women that are selling their bodies. They're brought into the country on a scam. Oh, we'll give you a job in a big hotel in Singapore. They come in and they find out, oops, no job like that. Now we have to go out in the streets because we owe a debt because they flew us here. And they're not going to let us go until we pay that debt. How many know that debt is never paid? They can work and work and work the streets. That debt is never paid. They're slaves. and this ministry is reaching out to them, and they said, why don't you come and minister to us? I was like, okay. God, you're going to have to help. What am I to say to them? What is our team to say to these people that are already putting their lives on the line? They're living right there where the trafficking is going on. And so at any time, the powerful people behind the trafficking could come in and cause them great harm. But God is protecting them right in the middle of this amazing ministry that they're doing. So they said, why don't you come? We had visited last year and did some work on the streets. They liked our hearts. We liked their hearts. And they said, come and minister. So they had ministry at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was to speak and minister at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, this is interesting. These people are really after it. And so at first I came in very quiet in the first meeting. I thought, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Aren't you supposed to be quiet? I mean, I'm staying right at the center. And I was so quiet, so quiet. People, you know, were falling asleep. So the next morning I thought, I'll just be myself. So I got my guitar out and I sang worship. They're dancing, they're crying, I like that better. They're dancing and crying and worshiping God, and I was raised to a whole new level of feeling God's presence in an overseas setting. It was just so welcoming there. And they were so open. They were like, even though they were after God's heart, it was a new way of expressing it. And so it was like desert receiving water. So this couple that runs the ministry, they want to talk with me for a few minutes, and they shared everything that they had been learning during our team's time ministering there. They were sharing very intimate details about their lives and just so openly sharing what God was teaching them. And I thought, this is good. And then they, you know, when they took me to the airport, the guy is sharing his heart on the way to the airport, just so transparently. They write a beautiful note of thanks for our time there and sent Pastor Mary Pat some cookies. She didn't eat them all. She left a few. And so I ate them. But their hearts of love were expressed in even their note card. Every inch of the note card was filled up with their love of partnering with us. And we felt the same way. Our team felt the very same way. So we get back, and I send them an email of thanks for the cookies, well, for the note, and then on behalf of Pastor Mary Pat, the cookies. And he wrote me recently and an email back, and he said, you know, we're going to have this conference, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, by the way, I had a recording of your song on my phone, and I put it in the pocket of my father, who is struggling with shingles in the hospital. I put the phone recording of The Enemy Is Done in his pocket, and I played it over and over. I just played it over and over and over again and again and again while he was in the hospital for 15 days. And he recovered. And I was totally in tears. Touched that ministry can go on from what we had poured out months later in people's lives through a simple recording that had a different purpose at that time. But God used it again for another purpose. He multiplies what we give out. So the time in Singapore was amazing, wonderful for both, you know, ministries. We partnered together. We learned a lot from them. They took us out on the streets. They taught us more and more about how they minister. We shared our hearts with them. They felt they learned. But then God multiplies it and uses ministry already done months later. in someone else's heart. It's just so cool. The coolest thing about partnering with this ministry is this guy made a recording and thought it was valuable enough to share it again. Do you get it? The value placed on what was given out. That's living supernaturally. When people are up here worshiping and giving out their whole heart and whole lives to worship God, taking the time to minister to all of us, where are you? Are you there participating? Or do you take your time to be part of it? I'll get there when I can. They're always doing that at the beginning, whatever. No, all of us can step up, can't we? A little more. Get in a little more. Get a little closer. Come a little earlier. Participate a little bit more. Are you hearing my heart? There's no law here. There's no law, obviously. But there's beautiful things being given out. Are we there with the basket, ready to take the manna, ready to pick it up? Are we going to hope there's some left by the time we get there? Are we going to be the first at the Father's table? We're going to, you know, kind of fight for the chair. I want mine first because this is good stuff. This is a feasting. I want to be there for that. Just an encouragement for all of us. Let's press in more to what's being given out. Is it valuable? What is being shared from the worship team? What is being shared from people that give their testimonies and so on? Is it valuable? Of course it is. How valuable? Valuable enough to make time. Time is valuable. You're trading time for what you get in the Spirit. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You see, that's how you know whether you're living supernaturally or not. You're willing to trade time for what you get in the Spirit. And all of us can press in more to that. Every last one of us. And it's not guilt, condemnation. You know, we don't want to work that way here. It's a stepping up. It's a stepping in. It's a pressing in. We need to encourage one another to do that, don't we? I said, don't we? Yeah, of course we do. Always. But is it with a heart that you're not good enough, so I'm telling you what's up? I sure hope not. It's never been my heart. Never been my heart. I love it when these hearts are more and more tender to God. Love it. Absolutely love it. Why? Part of it is I need that encouragement. I need that encouragement to have a heart more and more tender to the Spirit's voice, to the Spirit's working. How about you? You need a more tender heart? Listen to your brothers and sisters. They're on fire. One Sunday it might be this person. They're just totally on fire. And they walk into the church. We all can learn from that one. The next week it might be someone else. Are we going to identify that person and go, I have to have more fire like that one, like that one? And not raise them up as the standard of all standards. They're going to have their days of challenge as well. But let's watch the ones that are on fire and follow their good example. And the ones that aren't on fire, don't follow their example. Help them. Minister to them. Love on them. Pray for them. Care for them. But don't go down because someone goes down. That makes sense? Should make sense. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So many markers. 57, actually. Start with the victory. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God. We're victorious. We can step into His victory for our lives. daily, moment by moment, in any challenge. This isn't just, oh yeah, Jesus has victory. Oh, but it doesn't work in real life. Oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and there was such power in that, and then went to heaven. But it doesn't really work in real life. There's no disclaimer like that. Let me just be clear. It works in real life. Whatever the challenge is, whatever the sickness is, whatever the disease is, we don't understand everything, but the victory is there because of Jesus. If we back off from that, we're not living supernaturally. If we doubt that, we're not living supernaturally. That should make sense. We're always stepping into the victory more and more and more, even if we don't understand it. Even if we don't understand what we see in front of our eyes, the victory is the truth. And it can happen to us daily, moment by moment. That's living supernaturally. Doubt, fear, it just doesn't add to that, does it? Takes away from it. Takes away from his victory. That was just on one verse. 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Christians should not be fickle, changing moment by moment. I love Jesus. No, I don't love Jesus. I love Jesus. No, I don't love Jesus. I love the brethren. No, I don't love the brethren. I trust God. No, I don't. That's not supposed to be the supernatural life. Oh, I want the love of the Father. No, I don't. It's too much. I want to serve Jesus. No, I don't. I want to go after his heart. I want to press in. I'll come even to an all-night prayer time. No, I won't. In, out, yo, 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 yo. That's not supposed to be our experience. It's supposed to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. He's not whipping Christians, saying, what's the matter with you? He's encouraging us. Immovable. Steadfast, still after God's heart, God's vision, God's fruit. How do you know if someone's steadfast, immovable? Check the fruit. The fruit goes away when they're a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. You don't see a lot of fruit. Holy Spirit fruit or fruit that they produce as far as the kingdom. It kind of disappears. Fruit isn't there when they're like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind, when their loyalties are just thrown out the window. Fruit goes too. It can't help but go. They can try and try and try to produce fruit. It doesn't happen. It doesn't pop out anymore. James chapter 1. Make that James chapter 3. 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Are you a wise peacemaker? Am I a wise peacemaker? We have to have heavenly wisdom to be a wise peacemaker. If we start getting wisdom from the earth again, from the flesh again, it'll turn into these ugly things in the first few verses. If we receive heavenly vision, heavenly wisdom, we end up getting the things from verse 17 and verse 18. How do we press into that? We need to hear the truth of the Holy Spirit. We have to hear the truth of the Holy Spirit. You know, many people are men of the Word. They go to the Word, and they go after the Word. But if you don't have the interpretation, the right interpretation of the Holy Spirit, you can end up in all kinds of stuff coming out of the Word. Just being a man of the Word doesn't mean jack. There's all kinds of people that are men of the Word. There are Muslims that study the Bible daily to try to discredit, to try to make it match the Quran. They're men of the Word, but they misuse it. There are Christians that look for an agenda when they go to the Word. They don't just say, oh, Jesus did this, Jesus did that. They try to say, oh, but he didn't mean to, or something. I don't know. They leave out 2/3 of the ministry of Jesus Christ, specifically healing and deliverance. I want to be just like Jesus. Really? Then it's over your head. It's over my head. If you can live for Jesus and be just who you are, then you're not living the total Jesus life, because it's way over our heads. We have to depend on Holy Spirit. We have to have intimacy of Holy Spirit to be obedient to the Word, to understand the Word. We need His interpretation, not our own knock-knock. It doesn't work. It always comes up with some weird thing, like healing isn't for today. Deliverance, we don't even talk about it. There can't be any demon-possessed people today, demonized people today, and definitely no one sitting in the pew. So it's not even discussed. It's not even talked about. We've seen demonized people in this building that were delivered or are in process. Some of us have been delivered of some demonic activity. Our children have been delivered of some demonic activity. You're supposed to be smiling. You're all concerned. It's a good thing. Being delivered of demonic activity, it's a good thing. I know, you know, you go, uh-oh, I didn't know this church. I don't care. Don't worry about that. That's fear. I'm just telling you, it's a good thing. And we don't go looking for a demon under every seat, because Jesus is bigger all the time, greater. He has the victory. So we don't, that's not our ministry. That just happens at times. When they come up against Jesus, someone falls on the floor, they have a problem, we help them. You get it? I mean, if there's enough Jesus, you're going to have people that can't handle His presence because of what's going on inside their hearts. So we help them with that. That's a good thing. Happens overseas, happens here. And we talk about it. Why? Because you read the New Testament and Jesus is just walking on, come over here, come over here. They're that demonized person throwing themselves into the fire. And He didn't go, that's not part of my ministry. That's too flaky. He didn't do that. He went to the place of need and delivered the person. And you have that same Jesus in you. Well, I don't get involved in that. I don't know what I'm doing. You think any of us know what we're doing? There are no experts with this. Do you want to live supernaturally? Step into something you can't do, which is everything. Come on. That was fun. Okay. Now I want to talk about what I was going to talk about today. And it's the book of Daniel. Who lived a supernatural life in the Old Testament? Well, a no-brainer would be to go to Daniel. 9 of the 12 chapters have to do with dreams. What? That gets off into the flaky. That gets off into the good stuff. You can always deal with the flaky if it's good enough stuff. You can help people that are off flaky. You know, like they wake up this morning and they say, I'm going to move to Ghana, West Africa. Great. Let's hear about it. And as they share their heart, as they share their vision, as they share what's going on inside of them, all of us can help them with that if they want help. And all of us can help them identify whether, yeah, that's truly God. No one has to be a lone ranger. We can all help. And you know what? If someone had that vision in this body, you better be sure we would be in fear of the Lord, whatever we shared with them, whatever we said to them. Because if it's God, we don't want to stand in his way. If it's not, we want to help the person because they'll be off in a wild blue yonder. And they won't get all the things that God has for them in their destiny. Maybe it's Ghana, but it's the wrong timing. Maybe it's supposed to be in a couple of years. We can help with that. It's not a hindering thing. It's not a smothering thing. It's not a, well, no one should go to Ghana. It's a loving thing. And if they're supposed to go and it's identified that's from God for everyone, wow, we're going to back it. We're going to send them. We're going to watch them do amazing things for God. Wouldn't that make sense? Why would we hinder something like that? We're not going to. Never, never. So, Daniel. Wow. You want to spend what it would take to go through Daniel. But I do want to point out a couple of things. Daniel and the boys were about 16. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were their Babylonian names. Belteshazzar was Daniel's Babylonian name. They got new names, not necessarily what they wanted. Got a new life, but they were in captivity. Do you know it never said Daniel complained for a minute? He's in captivity by an evil king. He just said, here I am. God, what do you want to do with me? And so he gets himself in trouble right away. In chapter 1. Can't even get through chapter 1. Daniel's already in trouble. The guy goes, What are you eating? You're supposed to be eating the king's food. You're supposed to drink the king's wine. You're supposed to be involved with the king. You know, do what the king says. Do what the king says. Because if you don't, it's my head. And then probably your head. Daniel says, well, let's just have a little test here. Just, you know, you and us. We'll eat vegetables. See how we do after 10 days. Now, I'm telling you, I've been eating a lot of vegetables. I have a vegetable queen in my house. And I eat a lot of vegetables and fruits, and I didn't notice any change after 10 days. Okay? I kind of feel a little better overall over, you know, 10 years. But 10 days? Whoa! That's supernatural. Come on. Supernatural in the Old Testament. That in 10 days they look better because of eating vegetables and fruit. Wow! That's cool. So Daniel immediately steps into the supernatural. Hey, how about a little test here? 10 days. 10 days. That's faith. That's supernatural living. Boom, bam. And sure enough, the guy goes, wow, you guys do look better. Now they were already chosen because they were handsome. So it's not because they're handsome. They're already chosen because they were smart. It's not because they're smart. They probably were good dressers because they showed them how to dress. Somehow their countenance glowed with the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit after only 10 days. That's better than any ad I've ever seen on TV. Slim Fast. Ha! Any of these things. Marie Osmond, I'm sorry. This is better. so much change in only 10 days that the guy saw it and he said, okay, let's check it out with the king, see what he says. The king sees it and he approves their diet. Started with their diet and he approves their diet. He already seen the supernatural just out of something simple in their life, like their diet. Let's go to chapter 2. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. Who gave him those dreams? God. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Troubling dreams that God gave a wicked king. By the way, in chapter 1, it said that these people were taken to Babylon by this king, and God empowered the king to do it because of a prophecy in the book of Hosea. Think about that. What? They were in captivity because God said they would end up in captivity because they were disobedient. That's correct. So, you know, this was an evil king, no doubt. But he is in God's hands. He's a pawn. He's nothing but a pawn. He's a puppet in God's hands. Oh, he's in charge. He stole the people and took them to Babylon. God prophesied it would happen, and it happened. Who's in charge? Prophecy or this king? The king thinks he's powerful. He's nothing. He's not as powerful as Daniel and the boys. They're the ones in charge through God's intervention in their hearts and lives, through his empowering spirit in them. You think President Obama's in charge of the United States? I'm sorry, he's not. Congress? No. In fact, you have higher position than any of those people, just like Daniel. Do you see yourself that way? That should make you want to step into the supernatural. If you suddenly have the country really is in your hands. The country was in their hands. Daniel's hands. It didn't matter what position he had. It doesn't matter what position you have. I'm working for a company. I'm unemployed. I'm this, I'm that. It doesn't matter. You are God's anointed. You are God's supernaturally charged. You are God's. You are God's. You are God's. So you are in charge because of him. Follow what he says, and the country will be changed because of you. Doesn't matter who's in charge. Well, I don't like the way this person in government does this, that, and the other. And, you know, there's discussion on Fox News all day long. And they repeat it, and they repeat it, and it just sounds bad, bad. Everything's bad. I mean, they're not doing anything that's any good, and nothing's going well. And, you know, this community is rising up, and that community, and, oh, those aren't the ones we want rising up. And when you have a power to change an individual life of a person in front of you, that's far more powerful than any bad report. Because that one person represents a household. That household represents generations. That those generations are ongoing. And it will mean hundreds of people with the possibility of changing from your involvement in that person's life. Can you see that? And that's how things change. That's how the kingdom is built, by multiplication. Because your seed turns into a tree when you influence someone's life. That's why you have to be supernatural. Step into the supernatural. That's why you have to be laid before the Lord and say, I don't even know what the next step is to take, and I'm supposed to be supernatural. That's why you need to receive from worship and worship yourself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, when things are not looking good at all. Because you're a person in the gap for someone, a family, your own household for sure, but maybe another family. Well, I don't have much ministry. I talk to, you know, my neighbor a little bit about Jesus. That one conversation could turn into generations being changed. Why would you say, I just? Don't say that. I just. We just started a little Bible study in our home in 1990. Just a little Bible study in our home. Invited some young people in. When we started, there was probably 8. If we would have said, it's just a little Bible study, then I don't think we'd be seeing the impact on the nations. Well, this is just a little church. I mean, look, there's a few seats where people are missing. Just little, small, little impact. That's not the way God sees it. He sees you like Daniel or Esther. He sees you like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were few in number. There's only 4 out of all the people captive that are even in this book mentioned. 4. And they shook how many kingdoms? 4. Daniel had influence in 4 kingdoms during his lifetime. 4 kings, 4 kingdoms. Just 4 people shook 4 kingdoms. I think we have more than 4 people here. It didn't matter how many started out in the Bible study. Because it's shaking the nation. And we'll shake them more as you step into more of the supernatural. I'm excited about you stepping into more of the supernatural. I've seen some increase this weekend in some people stepping into the supernatural. As I mentioned, a couple of new worship voices are rising right in our midst. I saw them. I heard them. I watched their hearts. Whoa. That's powerful. Because that means they will be multiplied. Their ministry will be multiplied. Like that tape in that guy's pocket that led to encouraging the healing somehow or other. Whether it was just to encourage him or whether God used it to heal him. Who knows? But one word given out of the Lord, one song offered, can multiply in the kingdom. Are you seeing a small little seed? You need to seed the big tree. That's what Jesus talked about, right? All the time. Oh, you see this little mustard seed, but it's going to grow into a tree. That's what he's talking about. The kingdom is like this little bit, this little stuff in the bread. It fills the whole bread, the whole loaf. Eyes to see in the spirit. So, Daniel, where was I? I get through just one verse. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation. Be a common request. Tell us the dream, we'll give you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut to pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. Sounds like terrorists to me. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. All they could do was speak out of their lack. We're not supernatural. What are you expecting from us here? Give us the dream. We'll make something up, is what they're telling him. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. You're delaying. You don't know what my dream is. You're not true soothsayers, astrologers, wise men. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell you the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. What do you expect from us? Supernatural? Now, these guys have supernatural titles, but they didn't have the stuff on the inside to give out the supernatural. They had the title. They were fakers. No man, no person, except the gods. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men and sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, not with shaking and fear, with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He steps up to the guy that is supposed to be after his head, the executioner, the head of the executioners. Here I am. Let's talk. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree from the king so urgent? And Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time. He goes to the chief executioner. Then he goes to the king who ordered the execution, presents himself. May I have a little more time? Only a supernatural person would do that. That's stupidity. That's putting yourselves in the jaws of the lion. But Daniel did it because he was confident as a supernatural person to face everyone else's greatest fear, coming before the king without what the king desired in your hand. Remember the guy in chapter 1? If I go in and tell the king that you're not doing well because you won't eat the king's food, it's off with my head. The king was kind of picky. And Daniel's going in after a decree is made that all the wise men will be killed. And he wants to talk to the head executioner and to the king. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house. I guess the king said okay. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Daniel knew where his supernatural power came from. He didn't say, well, I'm a wise man, so I'll get it myself. I give out prophecy, so I'll do it. No, he humbled himself before the Lord, offered himself, and asked for help from his companions. He didn't just try to get the picture from the Lord, so to speak, on his own. He joined in with other believers and said, I need you to pray with me. Daniel was already, it already says in the first couple of chapters, Daniel was a man of dreams and visions already, but he humbled himself anyway. And he said, God, only you can reveal the answer. He got help, prayer from others, guidance, prayer from others to help with that prayer. And he got the exact dream. So he gives it to the king. You know what happened. And he says who it's from. Revealed from God. King tries to, you know, honor Daniel. Daniel honors God. This happened with four kings. Every time the king tried to honor Daniel, Daniel honored God. One king said, I'll make you third in command in all of the land. And he said, oh, keep it. Dad, just keep it. Because he had a higher position than any, you know, position in the government. But they gave it to him anyway. They gave him third in command in all the land. Some of them were making him like the lieutenant emperor. And he just handled it the same way. He didn't change one bit. He knew his position as a supernatural person in God and didn't change one bit with what position he had. Think of those that are your leaders in the body of Christ. If they change because of their position, you'll know it. If they still have a tender heart, you'll know it. If they're still after God's heart and they're receiving the fruit of that relationship, that humility before God, you'll know it if you can see in the Spirit, if you can hear in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, the leaders here have a heart for God. They want him to speak to us. They want supernatural for you, for them. They don't want to raise themselves up over you. That's not the idea, to be the big boss. Daniel didn't raise himself up over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He asked for their help. He asked for their unity, their commitment with one another. And it blessed God that he just gave that in a night vision that quick. A completely long dream that the king had and the interpretation. The king is so overcome that in chapter 2 at the end, verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. By the way, the guys that were going to be killed, the wise guys, not the wise men, but all the astrologers and everyone else, Daniel appealed for their lives to be saved. His competitors, those guys that were off in the supernatural, he cared about their lives. He knew God could show them truth. So he appealed for their lives that they would live. Then, when he received honor from the king, he said, oh, by the way, I have three friends here. They have always stood by me and helped me and so on. Would you please put them in high position? He didn't ask for the high position for himself, but when it came to his friends, his Christian buddies, so to speak, he wanted high position for them. The king gave him high position, didn't ask for it. He gave his friends high position and valued them. Again, he could take it all for himself, and he didn't. That's a supernatural person. They don't need position. They need presence. They don't need something from this earth to make them feel valuable or recognized. They have something from heaven that they're so glad that they're recognized in heaven as a son or a daughter. So here's this king. But let me tell you something. The world is fickle. As soon as he, you know, gives this great speech about Daniel's God, he builds an image of gold, and some think it was himself, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Now, if you really recognize the King of Heaven and who God really was, would you be building some idol? No. So the human heart can be very fickle without the supernatural power of God. Even as believers, the fickle heart is everywhere in the church. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Yeah, I'm really... That's good. I'm not so sure anymore. Fickle heart. In James, it talks about you ask for wisdom, but if you don't believe you're going to get it, your heart can be like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. I don't know if I have wisdom. I think I do. I'm not sure that I got it from God. I'm not sure that was God's wisdom. You have to believe that he's going to give it to you. He's that good. He's that great. And then step into it. That's the supernatural person. You're not a wave of the sea. Oh, I believe. Oh, no. So how do we do that? Obviously, we have to be close with God's presence and say, help me. I'm fickle. I am a fickle pickle. Lord, by myself, I'm the fickle pickle. But with you, I can have a steadfast heart. I can have a heart that sticks on the mission, that goes for the vision, and stays with it. Because of you, your power in me. We're going to continue to go to the nations. We're going to raise up the name of Jesus. We're going to see miraculous things happen here and overseas. You are going to become a supernatural person beyond compare. People are going to be shaken in your midst when you walk into Walmart. Don't be surprised if the person checking you out suddenly is shaking in the spirit and can't figure out why. It's going to reach that point. They did with Daniel. They started saying praise to God, these evil kings, and they didn't really have it in their heart. They're speaking it out, and they didn't even believe it. But his presence, because of Holy Spirit and his time in with the Lord, was so strong, they just had to speak out good stuff instead of, I'm going to kill that group. I'm killing that person over there. Good stuff came flowing out of their hearts. In the very next chapter, he builds an idol. Shows how fickle. Gets a second vision. Daniel interprets that one. The wise men couldn't do it. They couldn't even give an interpretation. But why did he go to them? He went to them first. Fickle. He had seen God give Daniel a dream that no man could have, and yet he didn't receive the witness of it completely. Happens with people all the time. The supernatural is going on. They don't receive the witness of it completely. Maybe there's some natural explanation. Maybe it's not quite what it looks like. I'm giving God credit for everything that I see that even smells supernatural. I'm going to give him credit. I don't think you can go wrong with giving God too much praise. I don't think you can go wrong with giving God too much credit for good stuff. He's the source of all good things. So just make a mistake, okay? I give you permission. Make a mistake and praise God more. I don't know if that healing was really from God. Just say it was. Well, isn't that just blind faith? You betcha. Poke your eyes out. He's that good. He's that good. He is that good. So let him be that good. Before I met your good pastor here, I would try to quibble on what was, you know, of God, what wasn't God, and most of it I was erring on the side that, well, it's not God until it's proven to me that it's God. Stupid. That was stupid. I meet her, everything's God. I'm telling you. I would say, well, I'm not sure. That's God. Well, how can you say that? Just so easily, just right out of your mouth. That's God. So it took me a while, but I eventually got to the point where I would just say it. You know, I would say it before she did. I thought that was extra credit. She would be ready to say that's God, and I'd go, that's God. I didn't have a whole lot behind it yet. But you know what? As the years have gone by, it's made a huge difference in my life because I see things, you know, wow, that's got to be God. That's his heart. That's the way he operates. That's the Father. That's good. That's good. That's the way Daniel was. He didn't go by these fickle kings. One minute, oh, praise God. The next minute, let's build an idol. And then the guy, now this is after two interpreted dreams. The first one, Daniel said, the dream and the interpretation. The second one, he gives the interpretation. He walks around on the walls of Babylon, considered the greatest city of that time, and even one of the seven wonders of the world are the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, of the ancient world, seven wonders. He walks around on top of the walls. I built this. Now, this is after all these dreams. This is after seeing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego delivered from the fiery furnace. He's walking around. I build all this. This is me. And just like that, he's eating grass. Because that was the dream. He heard the dream, didn't get it. It's going to happen. He gave praise after both dreams, but his heart wasn't behind it. He wasn't supernatural. He didn't care about the supernatural, really. He didn't really believe it. Do you believe it? Do you want more of what the supernatural offers to you from a heavenly Father that can change your life, step into the unknown, get out of the boat, run faster, farther, quit sitting, get up, and do something? Closer with God's presence. And I expect you to say the same to me. Pastor Bill, not looking like you're too excited about God today. Hey, let's go. Let's go up and worship. What do you say? You need that too. Every one of us needs it. Father, we thank you, God. I want to go farther into Daniel. But they have a Sunday here that they want to actually spend some time with you and their families. So, Father, we bless them, each person here. We bless their walk with you. May it be supernatural. May they have dreams, pictures, visions, like it says in Joel and in Acts, that it will increase in these last days. God, we're closer than we've ever been, and so it's increasing. It's increasing this weekend, Friday, from Friday night, God. Weekend, it's increasing for people. Worship is increasing. Worshipers are increasing. Don't miss out. Don't let them miss out, God. Don't let them miss out on the increase, on your goodness flowing into their lives. And then they speak it out to their family and friends, and suddenly generations are changed. Supernaturally, by your power. You worked to save Daniel in that position through four kings. Impossible.
The old always got wiped out before the new came in. But not with Daniel. That's living supernaturally above what naturally happens. God, give it to us. Give it to us. We raise up the spirit that was in Daniel. It came upon him. It lives in us continually. We lift Holy Spirit up for praise and honor and glory in Jesus. And Father, God our Father, we lift you up. Lift you up for the worship you deserve, for the way you work in human events. And these prophecies, Father, are still ongoing that Daniel spoke out. They're just starting to be revealed in some cases. Centuries ago. And these things you spoke to him are still coming to pass. What will happen with the things we speak out? Are we expecting that they end with one person? They will go for generations if it's truly from you. The supernatural things you do through our lives will go on for generations. It will grow. Thank you, God. Let us value your word and your presence. Let us value what you give prophetically to us in dreams and visions. And with each other, let us value it as precious gold and treasure what we give to each other. Let us not dismiss with our minds what God is doing in our spirits. Thank you, God. We ask for that mercy from you, that grace from you, that empowering from you. In Jesus' name, bless each person today with that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name.
Just a real quick word about the supernatural. Relentless Pursuit is all about the supernatural. The supernatural realm. And one thing that came to my mind was Friday night, Cameron was with us for most of the night in the ending part where we were prophesying over so many people. He wasn't here for that. He had to leave, but he was here for the beginning. And I was thinking about that, and it just hit me that because of what God planned on doing that night, he wanted to include Cameron in that. And I didn't see that at all at that moment. So in the very beginning of the night, we were watching this one video that we were sharing about with Larry Randolph. And Larry had received an anointing, an unction from the Holy Spirit to release all kinds of things over the body, whoever was watching, whoever was there. And what was interesting about that is that we were all encouraged to step in and grab it for ourselves, because he had tapped into the supernatural vein, the prophetic vein at that moment. I don't know how that all works. None of us do. Larry doesn't. But somehow this supernatural antenna just connected in with this prophetic stream, and then bam, 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 which I believe is going to happen at Relentless Pursuit for all of us. That's another part of it. So I'm mentioning this. But just to let you know how it worked that night, when I think Cynthia was leading prayer, for families. So we had, for some reason, I don't remember why, because I was doing something else, but Cynthia had the men in the back praying for families and men and whatever else. I don't remember what it was. But all the women were in the front. I don't know why it was divided. I was busy. That's what it was. But there were also a family crossover too, I think. Mother and father, I don't know. But anyway, here's the point, is that Cameron was here with a few others, and I just joined that group. And I thought, well, the women are here, the men are here, he's here. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to join that group. And I put my hand on him, and Cameron had been one. This is not to highlight Cameron, it's just to highlight how the Lord wants to work. But Cameron had been one in the very beginning who said, yes, I want to receive everything that you're releasing. It wasn't about the prophet, just like it wasn't about Daniel, although Daniel stepped into the supernatural. So he is one who said, yes, my spirit says, yes, I want that. Everything that was released for me, for my family, for my future family, for what's going to happen, for this body of Christ, for this ministry, for the world, yes, yes, and yes. But God sees that yes. So if this morning your yes has been, yes, that's me, I want to step into more of whatever Pastor Bill was used by God to release, God's going to honor that. So when I prayed for Cameron, I was burning up, and I didn't come in burning up. I was completely filled with fire from head to toe. It was just like, whoa. And when I touched him, these words came out, and they were strong and powerful, and he was responding in the spirit to that. And they were life words, destiny words, good words about him, what God was doing at that moment, but for a much bigger picture, because God not only was thinking of Cameron, he was thinking of the people that Cameron would touch. And so he came in with a full package of a blast that I certainly didn't expect. There was no thought about, wow, we're going to prophesy over other people tonight or anything like that. It just wasn't even there. We'd been flowing with, so God, what do you want to do now? How do you want us to pray? Who do you want us to pray for? When do we worship? Just Holy Spirit, have your way. And it was strong. And his body was shaking. And his heart was quivering, I'm sure, with what was released. And as I walked away after all of this, and then Ashley came over with a word, and Cynthia came over with a word, and it was strong. But after I walked away, he sat right here, and he looked at me, and I was down here, and he goes, thank you. And I just kind of looked at him, because there was such a connection in the spirit of love, okay? He was thanking me, but really thanking, and I say, okay, yeah. Because I was obedient to just standing there, and then God did what he did. But you see, there was such a synergistic connection, heart connection of love. When the supernatural was in operation, when the gifts were in operation, when the prophetic stream was touched, when there was a releasing and a receiving, there's gratitude that rises up in your heart. You just feel overwhelmed with what God's doing, with the people around you, for the Lord, and it's a full package. Is taking a bite of the whole loaf. And I was telling Beth later, because she was able to stay. We were telling her a little bit about it, and I was just sharing with her a little bit about my great love for this person. I love him. Not because of all the things you might see in the natural, but I love him. And so the love was coming forward, and that's what God does. See, in these gifts that he wants to stir up, the love from heaven will fill your heart for the people around. And so when you're able to exercise these spiritual abilities that Daniel was able to exercise because of the Lord, he will fill your heart with so much love, you just feel as though you're one. Being very different people, but just very close in heart. That's the unity of the Spirit. There was so much unity at that moment. So my encouragement to you is to step out saying, yes, that is me today. This is what I received today. I'm ready. And then your mission field will be as soon as you walk out those doors, and you will sense it. It'll be with your children as you take your children to lunch, or you go home with your children, or whatever it will be. There will be something that will rise up saying, God, I want that. And that's who I am. And that's how I can release over the ones that I love. And I will love them. I will sense the love from you even more, because I'm doing what I was created to do. So this is a real upgrade today. You can say, thank you, Lord, for that. So do I encourage you to do what you can do from a perspective of saying, come on, God, bring people in here for relentless pursuit? Yes, because that's what God wants to do. Whether it's through a verbal word or it's a wrecking in some other way, it's going to take us into another dimension, another place in the Spirit. It's worth our time. So may I encourage you that way, because God's got something so incredibly powerful for us 2 weeks from now. But he's preparing our hearts right now. He's preparing us for that. This is not about a conference. This is about him showing up more. That's what I'm saying. So take what you got today and use everything inside. Partner with him that way and watch what God will do. You're amazing people. I consider it a privilege to connect with you and love you. And I feel your love. Thank you for loving me. God bless you all. Have a good week.